Disclaimer. The following episode of 90s Crime Time talks about some aspects of race, and some wording may be hurtful to some. Listener's discretion is advised. Hello. It's January 24th, 2024. My name is Simone, and this is 90s Crime Time. Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of 90s Crime Time. And if you're new to 90s Crime Time, welcome to the show. Like always, I hope you have had a decent week this week and are prepared for the weekend. Now for some announcements. Well, pre-episode announcements. The reason I did the disclaimer at the beginning of the show is because, well, let's be honest, a lot of people were not happy with recent events this week here in America, and many have read some nasty things regarding race on social media and in the mainstream media this week. And to not ruffle any more feathers this week, I decided to postpone a particular episode I had ready because it had to deal with racism, and I didn't want to offend anyone too much by some wording in that episode. However, today's episode does have some minimal aspects of discussions of race, but again, it's very small. Lastly, since I changed the episode at the last minute, like literally 2 days ago, it will be shorter than the previous episodes of season 6, so I do apologize, and I also apologize that it's a day late than the usual release schedule, but this is a story I've also wanted to bring to you anyway for a while. Again, I apologize for the lateness and for being a little shorter than the other episodes. Again, listener's discretion is advised. And with that, let's dive into today's case. The year was 1990, and in London, England, this city was known around the world as a dynamic city rich in culture, music, fashion, and art. For instance, reports state by 1990, London had a population of around 6 million in the metro area and was filled with people of different cultures from Jamaica, Nigeria, India, France, and more. Also around this time, the music scene saw the rise of the genre of grime and garage, with London also serving as a melting pot for various other genres, including hip-hop, house, and techno. Fashion was also applauded in London, as many runway models and designers debuted this year in the city. Overall, London was a city where the streets buzzed with new sounds and styles, and the cultural landscape reflected both the freedom and the struggles of the time. Speaking of struggles, London during this time saw an increase in violence tied to street gangs and organized crime, and an increase in violent robberies, amongst other acts of violence. However, in February 1990, while many in London were becoming used to crime being reported on their local news, when a report came in about a baby being possibly kidnapped outside of a bank, it left many in London and the UK shocked. And after an investigation, it would leave many Londoners wondering if the baby would ever be found. In the following case, you'll find out who the baby was, the investigation, and aftermath in a case I title Stolen Innocence. During the week of February 5th, 1990, as many Britons in the United Kingdom read their morning newspapers, many across the country were alarmed when most of their daily publications had a picture of a baby spread across their front page, with a headline that read across most papers saying, quote unquote, "Baby boy snatched from dad's car." And in the following days after the news broke about an alleged baby kidnapping in London, spread across the country, many tuned in to every investigative report and update about the five-month-old missing baby named Ames Glover. According to reports, baby Ames Glover was born on August 21, 1989, to his 22-year-old mother, Shanika, who was born in Sri Lanka, and father, 28-year-old Paul, who was originally from Ghana. Growing up, baby Ames had a testy childhood because even though his parents were married, Shanika and Paul had a rocky relationship, and by the time their baby was born, they were separated. Also, after his birth, Ames was placed on a quote-unquote at-risk registry, which by the UK definition means, quote-unquote, if a child protection plan proves to be necessary, the child's name will be added to the Child Protection Registry, also known as the at-risk register. However, it's unclear why Ames was placed on the registry, with some reports stating it was possible because the parents were young when they had Ames, to officials knowing the couple had a rocky relationship. The couple had been married for only a year before their union started to dwindle. And once they decided to separate a month after Ames was born, Shanika, who was now pregnant with twins by Paul, moved out of their flat with Ames into a hostel, and Paul moved into a hotel, but they continued to co-parent Ames pretty successfully. Reports state that on Saturday, February 3rd, Shanika talked to Paul and said she wasn't feeling well because her asthma was flaring up. But she said Ames was doing fine. Sometime the same day, Paul showed up at the hostel and offered to take Ames for a few hours. Shanika, reports state, reluctantly let Paul take Ames for the day. But when he was set to return Ames that night, he called and said he would bring him back the next day. And Shanika told him okay. However, when Sunday, February 4th came, and Paul still hadn't brought Ames back, Shanika called him and asked what was going on. Paul told her everything was fine and that he would bring Ames back to her the next day on Monday the 5th. All right, so taking a break from the case, I'm going to be doing this thing again like I did before in the past with 90s Crime Time, and that is swapping promotions with different or fellow true crime podcasters. I did it for a while in the beginning of 90s Crime Time, and I'm going to start doing it again, maybe not every episode, but a few episodes out of this season and possibly beyond. And today, I'd like to take this time to introduce to some and reintroduce to others the wonderful true crime podcast, Morning Cup of Murder. I have been a follower of the show for some time now, and I love how short and to the point Karina, the host of the show, keeps the stories. I also like how there is a new episode released daily, and how each episode is about a murder that occurred on the day in a different year. And it's very, very interesting, you guys. So, without further ado, I'll let Karina tell you more about Morning Cup of Murder with the following promo. And I'm sure you'll be tuning in to the show, if you haven't done already, after you hear more about what the show is all about.
Ever wonder what terrible thing happened on this day in history? Hi, I'm Karina Beemisterfer, writer and host of Morning Cup of Murder, your daily, straightforward, no banter, quick dive true crime podcast. Here on Morning Cup of Murder, you can listen to stories of obscure serial killers, crimes of passion, rampage killings, cult murders, mysterious disappearances, and so much more. Morning Cup of Murder has over 800 episodes of true crime content for you to enjoy across every podcast platform. And the best part, there's a new episode every single morning. So if you like your coffee hot, but your bones chilled, sit back and listen to Morning Cup of Murder today. Follow us on Instagram at Morning Cup of Murder to interact with me. And please remember, stay safe.
On February 5th, 1990, reports state Paul left the hotel he was staying at with Ames and drove with him first to the London suburb of Southall to go to a bank and then to get some food at around 6:45 p.m. He got to Hamilton Road and got out to make a withdrawal from an ATM at Lloyds Bank and then made his way to an Indian restaurant for a carryout order, which took around 20 minutes. But reports state that while he was out, he left baby Ames in the car alone the entire time. When Paul was said to have returned to his car, he was startled when he didn't see Ames in his car seat and was said to have quickly gone to a nearby home to call police. Paul then called Shanika to tell them Ames was missing. But reports state she didn't believe him at first. But then Paul told her it was true. And panicked, Shanika went to the local police station near the hostel, and they confirmed that Paul had filed a missing persons case for Ames. After police were notified, they immediately began looking for the five-month-old. Reports state Paul told them that at the time of his disappearance, Ames was in his car seat in the back of his car and was reported as wearing a blue and yellow coat, a light green onesie, a blue and yellow hat, and black booties. Reports also state that when police began examining the crime scene, they of course focused and started with the car. But when they did, they noticed something odd. Reports state that after Paul alerted them, he said he locked the car door three times after leaving Ames in the car. But when detectives checked the car, they noticed that there was no damage to any of the doors, meaning if someone had taken Ames, there would have been more than likely damage on the car to try and pry open a door. Or maybe if someone really wanted to take Ames and the car was locked, someone may have broken the window glass to take the baby. But again, there were no signs of that. Also, when police interviewed Paul, he told them Ames spent a lot of time in the back seat of the car as he went some places that weekend. But when detectives checked the back seat, they noticed seven diapers in the car. And if the baby had been with him that entire weekend, why would he only have used 3 of the 10 diapers Shanika told police she gave him? They also questioned him if Ames had spent a lot of time in the back seat and he seldom had a diaper change, then why was there no trace of any urine in the back seat or any signs of a dirty diaper? Also during the investigation, when the car was dusted for fingerprints, police determined that there were no foreign fingerprints found on the car. Police also wondered why Paul left Ames in the car by himself in the first place, especially since it was cold at the time, even if he had a coat on. Paul said he thought Ames would be safe since he said he locked the car and would only be gone for a short amount of time. After investigating the car, since the area in Southall where Paul said he was usually busy, police reportedly interviewed several potential witnesses, and according to a report, a few people in the area stated they saw a woman look as if she were carrying a baby close to the nearby bus stop. But police could not confirm an actual description of the woman from the witnesses. They also heard from others in the area that day that they had not seen any person try to open a car and definitely hadn't seen anyone try to steal a baby. 3 days after Ames' disappearance, Shanika pleaded to the local media at a press conference for any information regarding Ames and said tearfully, quote unquote, "Whoever's got my baby, please hand him over. Please bring my baby back to me. My baby wants me as well. I know that." But despite her pleas, though, no one came forward with any new information regarding Ames' disappearance. But police did report that they interviewed Paul and Shanika at length. But at that time, they had no, quote-unquote, evidence of any independent person who saw the baby in the car, or any suspect yet as to who could have taken Ames. However, reports state, shortly after the disappearance, police started to look solely at Paul. You see, after the disappearance of Ames, police felt Paul's stories weren't adding up. They wondered, why was there no evidence of a break-in? Why would he leave Ames in a car by himself for 20 minutes, or at all? Why were there diapers left over if he had the baby for those 2.5 days? Why would he leave the baby in a car in the cold winter weather? Paul reportedly had an answer for all the questions, but then reportedly became offended and wondered why police were only questioning him and somewhat Shanika. And he even made the bold claim that police were being racist towards him. Police told him they weren't, but since he was the last person confirmed seen with Ames, that is why they questioned him the most. However, reports state Paul stopped cooperating shortly after his last interview with police. But he did tell local media in an interview, quote unquote, "I blame myself. It was my fault. You hear of these things on the news all the time, but I never thought it could happen to my child. If I turned the clock back, I wouldn't do the same thing again. Never." And a few weeks after the disappearance, possibly due to the stress of her missing child, Shanika miscarried her and Paul's twins, and they remained separated. According to reports, as the investigation continued, there were still no leads regarding where Ames could be or who could have taken him. And unfortunately, after spending several months on the investigation, Ames Glover's case went cold, to the dismay of his parents. Shanika felt the police had not done enough to find her son, and she felt that around the same time Ames' investigation was going on, police were paying more attention to another baby that went missing. You see, a month before Ames disappeared, another baby named Alexandra Griffiths was kidnapped from a London hospital by someone who pretended to be a hospital worker. Reports state that after the baby Alexandra was taken, media covered the kidnapping around the clock. High budgets were spent by police to find the baby, and many more resources were said to be used to try and find Alexandra than Ames. And Shanika claimed this was because Alexandra was white, while Ames was black. She even said during an interview, quote unquote, "It's not fair. When I see many things done to help find other children, and I see there's nothing to find my child, it's just absolutely crazy." One journalist also piggybacked off her statement and said, quote unquote, in an article, "It's harder to make a good story out of a missing black child than out of one with blonde hair and blue eyes." However, police dismissed these claims. Eventually, baby Alexandra was reunited with her family 2 weeks after her kidnapping, but Ames was still gone well into the next year. Reports state, though, that as the years went on after his disappearance, Shanika and Paul reconciled for a short while, but then broke up again. Shanika went on to remarry to another man and have two more children, but she never gave up hope on finding Ames publicly. And due to her pleas, in 2003, Ames' case was reopened. Reports state that after the case was reopened, it was handled by Scotland Yard's Racial and Violent Crimes Task Force, and they appealed to the public for information regarding Ames' disappearance. Curiously, shortly after the plea, reports state an anonymous voicemail was left to the task force tip line by a quote-unquote African-sounding man, and he reportedly claimed Ames had been flown to Ghana the day his abduction was reported and was now living in Cape Coast under the name Kwabena Tanto. It's unclear how police decided to follow this tip, especially since the caller was never identified. But reports state they made their way to Cape Coast and collected DNA from two teenagers, one age 17 and the other 16, who could have matched a description of an older Ames. But they were determined not to be Ames. After the trip to Ghana, police held a press conference and offered a reward of £10,000 for any information regarding Ames, with the detective chief superintendent telling the press, quote-unquote, "What should have been a truly precious period in the mother's life, watching her son growing up, taking his first steps, cutting his first teeth, speaking his first words, have all been taken away from her. We hope old allegiances will not be the same and some people will come forward to tell us the truth." But unfortunately, no one came forward. Several more years passed, and despite working harder this time to find Ames, his case remained unsolved, and he remained missing. Fast forwarding to 2020, Shanika gave another interview to a newspaper and told them, quote-unquote, "I only have a few photographs of him. It's getting harder to remember." Ames Glover has been missing since February 1990, and if alive today, he would be 35 years old. The story of the disappearance of Ames Glover comes from the sources of The Guardian, The Independent, BBC News, and others I'll put in the notes. Okay, so I'm going to do a very short, opinion piece. I'm going to go ahead and say this out the way. I may be in the minority here, but I think Ames is still alive. I think it was an opportunity to have that baby removed and placed to another family. I think that possibly, more than likely, he was taken, and possibly he could be in Ghana. But it's weird that the anonymous tip person called and said that the baby Ames was now pretty much older and in Ghana. And that's the same place Paul is from. And I do blame Paul for all of this for the most part. Now, there's no named suspect per se, but everything I believe is pointing to Paul. He showed up at Shanika's hostel and offered to take the baby because Shanika had asthma issues. And that was nice of him, but reports state that she was reluctant to give Ames to Paul that day, I guess because they had a rocky relationship, and I don't know much of the details about why it was rocky. But I also read another publication that she said they had a rocky relationship. Shanika said they had a rocky relationship and that he was upset. Paul was upset that she was moving on. And she thought early on in the investigation that he had taken Ames and done something with him to hurt her. Because apparently, even though she was pregnant, she dated again, apparently, according to reports, and she was moving on with her life, and he didn't like that, and he wanted to hurt her, according to Shanika. I just think it's very odd. First off, I'm not a parent, but I wouldn't dare leave any age of my child. Even if I had like a 10-year-old, I'm not leaving that child in the car by himself, no matter the weather conditions. But he allegedly left the 5-month-old Ames in the car by himself for 20 minutes to go to an ATM and to get carry out food, even though he said he locked the car 3 times with a baby in the backseat by himself in winter. Again, no matter the weather, but like, really, he did that? That's what he told police. I think that's ridiculous in the first place. I also think that it's odd that when she was asking if he was going to bring the baby back that Friday night, he said, "I'll bring him back tomorrow." She called again. He's like, "Oh, I'll bring him back the next day." She called again. "Oh, I'll bring him back the next day." Monday arrives. He's like, "Oh, well, I'll bring him back that day." And he went to allegedly go to an ATM and then get Indian carryout food while leaving the baby in the backseat for 20 minutes in the winter. I just think that's very odd. I think there's a very good possibility Paul has something to do with this. Paul has something to do with Ames' disappearance. Like I said, I don't want to think that he like hurt the baby or killed the baby. I don't know. I think he may have taken Ames to Ghana and someone else is raising Ames and Ames may not know what's going on. Ames is now a 35-year-old man if he's alive. I think that could be the most probable reason. Again, I don't know why he would want to take the baby to Ghana, unless like Shanika was right that he wanted to hurt her. But I don't, it's just a very odd story. And I don't want to say that she was right, that the police cared more about a white child than a black child. But we have heard reports about that a lot of people believe that non-white children don't get as much attention from the press and the police as white children do when they disappear or get murdered or hurt, something like that. And, you know, I think people have the right to think that. I'm not going to say my stance, but I don't know if that was the case regarding Ames and Alexandra Griffith's case. Luckily, she was returned to her family, but Ames has not been, unfortunately. Like I said, I think it's a very fishy story. It doesn't sound right what Paul said. Also with the diapers, I'm not a parent, but if Shanika gave him 10 diapers for just that one day, that means more than likely he was going to be changing that baby more than once. And he had 7 left over, which meant 3 were only used within a short amount of time. And it's just very strange. I don't think Ames was in that back seat when he went to allegedly go to the ATM and get food. I think Ames was placed somewhere and given to someone else. That's what I believe, but I could be wrong because there's been no real suspect's name besides Paul, technically. Even the police didn't believe his story, but I guess they didn't have enough evidence to really name him as an actual suspect regarding the disappearance of his son. And I just think it's very strange. It's very sad that Shanika probably had nothing to do with the disappearance of her son, and now her son is 35. She can't really remember him that much because it's been almost 35 years since he's disappeared. All I can hope for is that, you know, Shanika is, you know, keeping her sanity, because I would be so insane if my son or daughter, child, no matter the age, was missing and I had no idea, no trace of where they were, especially all this time. And I can only hope that Ames grew up to be a healthy young man. Whoever he was placed with, if he was placed with someone, because I don't want to believe he's dead. I don't know this. I said this is going to be quick, y'all, but I'm sorry. But I was actually talking to a friend about this case, and she was like, "Well, maybe, do you think maybe Paul had an accident with Ames and tried to cover it up?" Like, you know, we've seen those stories, true crime people. We've seen those stories that some parents accidentally hurt the baby and they want to cover up what happened and just things go left. That could be a possibility. But again, for me, I think Ames is still alive and he was placed with someone else and raised with them for reasons unclear. Again, like I said, Shanika believed and early on that Paul wanted to hurt her after the breakup. But again, no one knows what happened. We can only hope, like I said, Ames grew up to be a great young man, healthy, and hopefully the truth will come out one day and he's reunited with his parents. And that's it. Thank you for tuning in to this brand new episode of 90s Crime Time, and I hope you found it interesting. If you haven't done so already and you have and you listen to the podcast on a ratings/review platform, I would love for you to leave a review and or rating if you haven't done so already. Again, I've been doing this for a while, but I can still get better, and I would love to know what you think about the show, and I will get better if you have a critique about the show. You can tune in to 90s Crime Time on the weekends, primarily on Instagram. Yes, I'm still on Instagram. 90s Crime Time is to look at more, read about more 90s stories, primarily on the weekends again. And stay safe and healthy, and I'll see you soon for a brand new episode of 90s Crime Time.